Hello, 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 everybody. Stefan here at 5:47 a.m. coming at you with a killer intro. It sounded like I had a stutter more than I was trying to be a cool DJ. Anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about our special guest, Jonathan Gregory. You guys are in for a real treat. He is also known as the Creepy Comic, and boy, oh boy, does he live up to that name. I remember the first time that I got to see him, I was laughing uncontrollably. I was also terrified because he does such great crowd work. You do not want to look him in the eyes, because if you do, he might call you out. And it is so funny. It's also terrifying. But, you know, those two emotions go hand in hand, right? So, he doesn't have any live shows coming up right now, but show your support, follow him on Instagram, go check out his website, creepycomedy.com. It's all in the show notes, so go on over there, and he does do some online shows sometimes, so you might be able to catch him before he catches you. Yeah. Anyway, you're in for a great show. We've also got some great guests coming up. I just wanted to make some other call-outs. We are revamping our Patreon, so head on over there. We've got some bonus episodes. We're putting out some episodes early. We're going to have some really cool stuff out there for you patrons that are joining up. So thank you so much for everybody that's supporting. We've also got t-shirts. We've got some t-shirts that you can buy on acomedyadvicepodcast.com. They're I Rub You from episode 35, if you guys have heard that, for all of you. All of you old timers, you staunch followers. So yeah, you can support us on Patreon. You can support us by buying our merch, but you can also support us in a number of other ways, which a lot of you are listening. We love the fact that you guys are listening. Following us on Instagram. We've been doing some takeovers on Instagram where comedians or guests, they end up taking over the account before their episode launches. So we just had Jonathan Gregory. We had Danielle and Nick before that, and then we're gonna have another special guest. You'll see who if you follow us on Instagram at A Comedy Advice Podcast. So that's been really fun. And then you guys being able to just subscribe, tell a friend, leave a review, we really appreciate that. So keep doing what you're doing. All right, let's cut to the chase. Here's a fresh new episode.
A Comedy Advice Podcast.
An advice podcast for Stefan
and friends.
Make exaggerated statements not meant to be taken literally.
What was that, Stefan?
Comedy Advice Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to A Comedy Advice Podcast. This is where we give self-help to the helpless. My name is Stefan, and this is, 46 days in quarantine. I'm your host. I'm joined by my special... Well, he's not a guest. He's a co-host. My special co-host. That doesn't sound right. That makes you sound like you're special. Anyway, Eric. Eric is joining us today. Can you say hi to the fans for us, Eric?
You don't think I'm special?
You are special in your own way, but okay, you're special. Say hi.
Hello. There you go. Hi.
Oh, man. That's a great intro so far. Eric Eric just had a baby, by the way. So everybody congratulate Eric, please. Clap, 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 clap.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. We are elated.
Yeah, I can tell by the tone of your voice. How long has it been? Six.
Sleep deprivation is a real thing.
What kind of baby is it?
Human. X and Y chromosomes. 10 fingers, 10 toes. You know.
Nice. And you're right about the sleep thing, because I have a year and a half old, and he still sleeps in bed with us. So it does get better.
Nice. Oh yeah, we're in week one right now, so it's you're every couple hours you're coming to the call. But it's good, it's great. We're having a great time.
That's beautiful. What a perfect time to have a baby.
I know, right? 9 months ago. Who could have thought?
Were you allowed in the emergency room?
Yeah, I was definitely lucky enough to be allowed in the emergency, during the birth and everything to be there. Not everyone's as lucky right now, so crazy times. But you know what? We had an awesome stay at the hospital, and we couldn't have gone better. So we're happy to be home now, though.
That's, isn't that sad, though? It's lucky. He was lucky that you're allowed to be in the hospital to see your baby born.
It's incredibly sad.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Love. just want to bring you down a little bit. Bring you down a little bit, you know?
That's matching with the tone of the podcast. That's great. And also, you guys might be wondering, who is this sexy voice that's not Stefan? It's our very special guest. He's the creepiest comedian in America. He's been on Thrillist's list of 50 best undiscovered comedians. He was on Last Comic Standing, CW's Jokesters TV. He's featured on Comedy Time Network, and he's been on a slew of festivals. Please welcome Jonathan Gregory.
Yo. You guys ready? This is awesome. You guys love this? I love 46 days deep into this new fascist regime. I am loving it. Get essential. You people at home, get essential. Be valuable. Be something. Things have never been better. I'm telling you. You got to take advantage of the situation. That's what you got to do, because we are getting labeled right now. It's like a movie. It's like you're worse. You're essential or you're non-essential. Now, I'll tell you what. You can say comedy is non-essential, and I get that. But I'm finding ways. I did a show last night online. I only made $11 so far, but I made a little something. We had a little show online. I do boxing training. The gym got closed. Okay. So now I'm teaching classes to police officer and firefighters' kids, because they're in a day camp, and I teach fitness classes to them. I'm doing day trading now. I picked that up because the stock market's volatile. It's going up and down. I'm cleaning parks. I'm doing maintenance work. Nothing stopping me. I'm making myself as essential as I can.
Holy
because
moly.
I'm going to take over. I'm going to take over this world. All you non-essential people that are hiding and scared at home, I'm taking your job. I'm taking your money. I'm taking your girl.
Oh, man.
Make money. Make money. Fuck bitches. Know this.
Wow. It sounds like you've been real busy during this quarantine, and you've been making yourself not just essential, but I think you got the makings of a supreme leader now.
You got to make this happen. You know, I mean, this is when the kings arise, when the depression hits. There's people that take advantage, and there's people that hide in their rooms. It's like, it's like varsity tryouts. Mother Nature is holding varsity tryouts, and some people just ain't gonna make the team. You know what I mean?
Oh man, I do. I know what you mean. I don't think
exactly what's happening.
I don't think I'm gonna make the team, man. I can barely grab a piece of toilet paper. I mean, it's all sold out. I don't have any rations. I've been going to Taco Bell, and you definitely need toilet paper after Taco Bell. But I have not done any day trading. I do not box. I don't work out. I've been a sloth of a man. And I think I need you on this podcast to help me become Q ready, quarantine ready.
You getting any sun?
No sun. Actually, my wife and I, we sat out under the sun on our balcony for 15 minutes and I started to turn pink. Even my skin is a
no,
bitch.
No, I know. You're the pale. I've seen you, but I'm telling you, man, even if you can do 15 minutes and 15 minutes, get 30 minutes of sunshine every day. You need that vitamin D to fight viruses. And I know a lot of people. I know there's a lot of fear out there, and you see all the bad things. I know people are dying. I know it's a bad deal, but you have to prepare yourself to fight a virus. It's just a virus. And if you boost your immune system, you get that vitamin D up, you get that zinc, you get that vitamin C up, you get your alkaline water going through your body, you get your little workouts in each day. It's the best you can do. Eat healthy, get some sleep. All that stuff's important.
Wow, that's great. I mean, it's
a virus, bro. It's a virus. You get yourself healthy. If you're fat, lose a little weight. It's going to help you fight the virus. If you're eating like shit, eat a little healthier for a while. If you're smoking, just stop smoking for a while. Because just assume we're all going to get it. And are you gonna make the varsity team? I'm a motivational speaker today. That's my thing. Are you going to make the team? Are you going to make the team? Are we going to bury you in the backyard and I'm going to take your bitch? Is that what's happening?
Jonathan, I feel like you should be on Instagram Live every day with a new tip for making sure that you're making Mother Nature's team.
Well, these weak motherfuckers got to do some shit, you know? Stop crying like a little pussy in your house. Do something.
You're the most prepared person I've ever met that I've ever talked to so far in quarantine. So I feel like we should... Can I come live with you?
I'll tell you what. You know what I've been doing my whole life that's really helped?
Doomsday prep.
I wash my hands, and I don't suck on my fingers after I take a shit. You know what I mean? There's basic shit that you do, okay? Basic
stuff. I
think
I saw that on a throw pillow.
It's not mind-blowing.
Oh, man. Don't suck on your fingers after taking a shit. I must admit, sometimes it does happen. It's just it's tough, man. I mean, it's really tough. But when I have had to venture out into the world, sometimes I just get itches on my face and I want to scratch them, and it's really hard. Jonathan, how do you prevent doing that?
Well, I grew a beard, which they say is bad, but I didn't. It's at that point now where I don't have to. It's not itchy anymore, so I don't really feel like it penetrates the scratch issue. But I do. There's a couple things I do like doing that I stopped. I do like picking my teeth.
Okay.
A little bit. I'll have to say that.
Okay.
And if you know this at home, or wherever you're at, if you're just jogging around listening to this, or if you're crying in your corner like a little bitch, you need to cut your fingernails and keep those, because stuff gets cut on your fingernails. So you need a little bit of fingernail to pick your teeth. So I don't really, I stopped doing that because I'm really keeping my fingernails nice and trim. That's helped a lot.
Do you think that once humans start fighting each other for supplies, fingernails will come in handy? Because if you get a good scratch in, that could scare somebody off.
You have like an adhesive razor blades that you put into your fingers.
Oh, my
Freddy Krueger style.
Have you seen the movies? No, I don't think it's ever been in a movie before. It's something I just made up right now.
No, yeah.
Get adhesive razor blades on your fingers, and then just slash your face up and die because you're scared. You're a scared little pussy.
That's a good point. I mean, I guess if you try and scratch someone, they're going to punch you in the face for being such a little bitch. So
yeah, don't scratch anybody.
Noted. Okay.
No, but in all seriousness, though, you know, it is hard times. It's tough times, and we got to try to make through this, make it through. And I'm not going to use the for the greater good type thing because I'm not a communist. But, you know, you got to look out. And it's basic stuff, you know. Don't put your hand over your mouth when you cough. Don't spit, you know. I always hate the people that spit in public. I think they flog you in different, like, in the Philippines. I think you get, like, flogged.
Pick a country. So
don't spit. Stop spitting. Stop touching everything. Just keep your fucking hands to yourself. That's all. It's basic shit. We're going to learn a lot from this, is that people will just start being decent after this, you know? Stop being fucking animals and monkeys.
Right.
Be a regular person.
I love that. Don't be an animal. Get money, get bitches. Don't be an animal. Hashtag.
That's what I'm
that.
Talking about.
Yeah. All right. We're going
to play the stock market. Stock market's crashing. Play the stock market. Well, I shouldn't even tell you that because I'm trying to do. Squirrel up all your coins. Buy anything. Buy any stock that's being hit, that's just totally dropped because of the coronavirus itself. I'm not going to give away all my tips here, but there's certain stocks out there that are strictly coronavirus like. That's what's bringing them down. So if it's just that, it's going to go away. The virus is going to eventually go away. Those stocks are going to jump back up. You got to get some money. You got to squirrel it away and get your cash on.
Oh, I love
it. Fuck bitches.
Like the airlines. I feel like the airline, that's a great one to invest in, because I feel they're going to bounce back from this. And I feel like we need to support them right now, just as they've constantly supported us by giving us less and less space, charging us to put our bags on the plane. And generally just fucking us over again and again.
Well, that's how you get them back. You buy that American Airlines stock for $8 and then sell it when it's back up to 50.
Oh, yeah. Or just buy as much as you can and be like, I own you, bitch.
Become the majority share
of American Airlines. Yeah, have it your way.
You can do it, man. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of work to be done out there because everyone's sitting at home and they're scared and they don't want to. People are the enemy. Everyone's thinking people are the enemy. That's such an old strategy to pin us against each other and make us stick at home. And it's just you just stay away. You can be outside and stay away from people. You can be outside and not lick the ground.
Exactly.
You don't have to go into Walmart. You can just be outside in the fresh air. That's going to be better for you than sitting in your house.
I like how Walmart's the equivalent of licking the ground.
It's like a three-dimensional ground. That's exactly what it is.
I just want to see the guy. I want to see the guy that's stuck. He's sitting in his little small studio apartment with asbestos seeping out of the ceiling, and he's just breathing that in all day and not walking outside once.
What about these people that are now trying to return the toilet paper they've hoarded, and they're being told no?
Those are the worst. Dante Alighieri would have written a chapter in his book. He would have created a rung of hell for them.
Yeah, their own circle of hell.
Yeah, and they would have been stuck in swamps of shit, and they wouldn't have had any toilet paper to wipe themselves clean. That's what I think. Fuck those people. Oh my God, those people piss me off.
The all-time low is from 2 weeks ago. Obviously, there's no toilet paper, and you know, I'm kind of rationing my toilet paper. I think I got like three rolls left, but it's fine. I got some napkins, whatever. I got a shower. I can do what I can do. But when I'm going to pick up my diapers, and I grab some diapers, and they were there, and then I look to the right over at Target, and every single one of the baby wipes are gone.
And
they're gone everywhere because all of these idiots are saying, I need toilet paper. I need paper towels. I need napkins. Oh, I need baby wipes. I need anything that I can wipe my ass with. Anything. And I get it. I talked to a psychologist buddy of mine. I get the psychology of it. It's you need, like they say, it's a silent enemy, right? So I need to make myself secure. I need something. I can't fight that. The only thing I can do to give me anything is I see everyone else buying toilet paper. That's something I can do. So I can get up early and I can wait in the line at Fry's. And when it opens up at 7 a.m. after all the old people leave from their 6 to 7, you know, old people shift, I can pop in there and grab that last, you know, 24 pack. And that gives me power. That's something I can control in a situation that I have no control. Mm-hmm. So it's just a soothing thing for their sick fucking minds. It's weak, non-essential fucks that have no idea what to do, and we're weeding them out. Mother Nature is weeding you out. You are not making the varsity team, sir. You're not even making JV. Go back to freshman and bring your 48 rolls of toilet paper. We don't need you.
What about these places having Corona parties?
Are you trying to get us pissed off, Eric? Are you trying to get us pissed off?
You mean like back in the day when they had the measles parties?
Yeah, I think, but it's more of like a fuck you type of a thing, because they actually, I think we're talking like the chicken pox, yeah?
Well, they used to do it with the measles way back in the day.
Yeah.
They used to, because measles, I mean, they're scary now because they're not around, but if you go like, to our grandparents, you know, that era when they were kids, someone had the measles, they would all play together just to get it over with. That's how they built. And that's true immunity. That actually is herd immunity. People forget about that, but actually getting it and then going out about your life, that actually is true herd immunity. A vaccine's great. They're great, but they don't always work. So it's not true herd immunity.
I thought Eric was talking about teenagers and riffraff and adolescents going and having parties where they've got scantily clad women with a face mask, and they're like, oh, we're drinking Corona, it's a Corona party. So that's,
oh, see, I was thinking of maniacs, like, we found a guy with COVID, bring him in the house, all 50 of us are gonna suck his cock.
Let's get a load of Corona right in our mouth.
I took it the extreme other way, but you're right. We were probably both wrong.
Maybe we met somewhere in the middle. Maybe there's something there.
You think the Corona beer stock tanked?
Oh, for sure.
It did, because it's a bad name. It's a bad name. You know? Sorry.
Is that one to get?
Name is part of your brand.
Or is that one? Is that one not bouncing back?
Might be a good stock to buy. Who knows? Anyway, Jonathan, thanks again for joining us. We're going to jump in on our self-help train. So we're going to get started with the quote of the week. And before we get into it, I wanted to ask you if you have any quotes that just inspire you and get you through your days.
Yeah, I got one right now, and I said it earlier. Mother Nature is holding tryouts for varsity team right now. The varsity tryouts are happening. Mother Nature's holding them. Whether you want, they're happening. You're going to make varsity team or you're not.
That's beautiful. That's very inspirational. I think you also had another one that was like, make money, get bitches. Or I'm going to make money and get your bitches.
No. This is Junior Mafia. I can't take credit for this. This is Junior Mafia. It's make money, fuck bitches.
Oh, sorry.
That's classic. That's classic Junior Mafia hip hop. Come on. That's Notorious Big. That's Biggie Smalls.
Still inspirational.
That's Little Caesar. That's Little Kim.
All right. Well, that's beautiful. Thank you for the inspirational quotes. We're going to read an inspirational quote, but this one, instead of a Notorious Big or any successful people, it's from a robot. It's called InspiRobot, and it's an AI-driven machine that takes some of the wisest words and mashes them together for one of the best motivational quotes that anyone could muster. Now, this week, Eric, would you like to read the quote that InspiRobot has generated for us?
You got it. Whenever you're having the runs, don't forget to close your eyes.
Beautiful. All right. Now, does that scream any messages to you, Jonathan? Do you feel anything running through you?
It's relevant to us talking about toilet paper for 10 minutes. That's irrelevant.
What it's saying to me is whenever you're having the runs, don't forget to close your eyes. I feel it's kind of like if you're blind, then you have more control of your other senses, including control of your sphincter. So if you close your eyes, you're focusing on the other senses. Or if you're in fight or flight mode, the adrenaline gets pumping, it shuts down some of your organs because you don't need that. So if you really got to poop, just close your eyes and you can focus on closing your other hole. And so you don't burst.
Wasn't that the plot to Daredevil?
If I eat a bunch of ice cream and I drink a bunch of beers and I eat a bunch of Filibertos and I go to sleep and I wake up with the runs, I need to see that because I did that to myself. I need to see what I did so I don't repeat that.
So you need to teach yourself a hard runny lesson and you need to watch your mess. God. I mean, that's fair. It won't happen again. Or maybe it will. I don't know. Has it happened again?
For me, no. Well, yes.
Never again. Up again. Okay. Eric, yeah. does this quote say anything or scream anything to you?
I don't know why, but I'm having the vision of someone running full speed while taking a dump. Running so hard that their eyes are clenched closed.
Running blindly, spewing from
like the hundred, like the 100-meter dash during, you know, Olympic tryouts. They're a little nervous. Well, they just pushed the Olympics a year, and I have a feeling that if they didn't, that we might have seen that.
Oh man, we're really missing out.
It's still in Tokyo though, right?
I would imagine they've like built whole stadiums, haven't they?
Yeah, I can't imagine they changed the location. That'd be ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah, unless it was at Wuhan, maybe they would change it then. But
or you know, every other Olympic facility ever that's still sitting there unused could probably host an Olympic Games.
Right.
Yeah.
If only there was some way to just disassemble it and then put it like in an IKEA, and then the other country could buy it and reassemble it, because it's just sitting there.
That'd be the Swedish games.
That's a game in itself.
How you guys feeling with sports being done?
I watch zero sports, so I feel okay about it.
It was interesting to see it peter out. Some, you know, some shut off right away, and others were like trying to see, okay, maybe we can do some games without audiences. And there was some interesting approaches to see in the midst of it all, but yeah, it going down it's crazy.
It's kind of enlightening. Me, I'm a complete sports junkie. I'm a fantasy football nut, and I love sports, you know, and I was a competitive boxer, you know, for a long time. So I've been into sports, you know, my whole life, and I pretty much played all of them when I was a kid. But now, you know, now as I'm getting older, like I said, I'm into fantasy football. NFL is probably my favorite. NFL, boxing, NBA, I like a lot. I like baseball. I like all sports. But now that it's gone and I'm not, like, I can't watch ESPN, And I'm really trying not to watch CNN because that's just like, you know, I can't watch that death toll number just keep ringing. That's like a sports game right now. It's like they got that number in the corner. It's just ringing and ringing and ringing. You're looking at it, just waiting until you're added to that list, you know. I got to stop watching that.
Well, I didn't think about that until now, but thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, that number's, watch it when you get it, when we get done here, pop on CNN. That number's cranking, it's going. Just wait for your number. Just keep watching. You're going to be one of those numbers eventually. You know what I mean?
Oh, God. Just
keep watching.
Next.
But I think it's kind of good. It's like, I have all this mental energy, all this mental space that I've been using for sports.
Yeah.
That I can just, you know, do nothing with. I know that wasn't impactful, but I'm trying to find stuff to do with it. This is something.
I was reading up on you, and I didn't realize until today that you were a boxing trainer. So that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think being a boxer was cooler, but whatever.
I mean, why not do both? Could you do both?
My boxing days are over. I'm done. My boxing career is I am retired. I am comedian, boxing trainer. I like that better because I am 42 years old now. I just had a birthday, so.
What the oh my God. I didn't realize you were 42. I thought you were like 29.
I look great, right?
The beard. Yeah. Shit. No, really. I had no idea you were 42. Good for you, man. Good for you.
But don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone, okay?
I'll
bleep this up. Bleep this section out.
Yeah, that'll be censored. Yeah. Oh, that's great.
People will think you said a lot older than 42. Did he say he was like 56? Could he be 90?
All right. Now, going into the first question, I feel like we all got really inspired by the InspireBot quote. We're going to go into the meaty part of the podcast, and this is called the Beef. And this is where we've got questions from fans. We've got celeb advice. We've got a new segment. We've got everything a self-help podcast should entail. So we're going to start off with our first question. This is from Reddit. It was found by our fan, Cynthia. Thank you, Cynthia. And it says, getting laid during the lockdown? I'm looking for ideas on how to get laid during the lockdown. I've got a pretty high sex drive, so I'm getting kind of desperate at this point. It's been 2 weeks since the nightclubs were closed. This means there aren't a whole lot of opportunities to meet guys at the moment. I've tried getting into conversations with them at the supermarket, my daily walk, etc., but had no luck getting them back to my place. Does anybody have any tips for me? Would online dating be worth a shot? Sincerely, lock down on me in LA. So, guys, we've got a thirsty biatch here.
Okay, give her my Instagram handle is @creepyjohn. That's John, J-O-N, John. Creepy John. @creepyjohn. Okay.
Oh, man. So, I mean, what do you guys think she should do? Should she go for it, risk the Rona, or should she... Are there alternatives here? I feel like there are sex robots.
She's absolutely bullshitting. Unless she's hideous, she is absolutely bullshitting. Any girl walks in a supermarket and wants to get fucked is getting fucked. It's not hard at all. Us guys are the biggest perverts in the world. I will literally fuck a couch, so it doesn't even make a difference.
Yeah.
I mean, if she really wanted to get laid.
You're set on the lockdown then, aren't you?
I'm set. I mean, it's not safe to go mess around with strangers, but I'm just saying if she really is that thirsty, you walk in a supermarket and you start talking to guys, they're the worst things in the world. Any of them will be ready in a second. It is not hard. Now, is it hard to get them to see you a second time? That's up to you. That might be tough, yes. But to get one night down, it ain't tough at all for a girl. That's the easiest thing in the world. It's hard for us guys to do that, you know, especially when we have Instagram handles like Creepy John.
You know, some things in life are just permanent.
Yeah, I do see a point because I've never had a girl come up to me in a supermarket and just spread her legs right in the produce aisle. So I don't, or at least say like, hey, do you want to hook up?
Wow.
It would be difficult. That's the thing, is it would be difficult if she was a decent looking, she didn't have to be hot, if she was a decent looking girl and she walked up to you and just started grabbing you and wanted you and told you she wanted to do whatever to you, it would be hard even in a relationship, to not just go with it because your animal instincts of it. But it's so unrealistic. That doesn't happen. Unless you're some like just hot, gorgeous soccer playing guy, it's just, or some famous celebrity. It just doesn't happen to guys like that often, you know? I mean, I have a couple friends that are pretty hot dudes, like pretty ripped, shredded guys that it does happen to sometimes, but that doesn't happen to normal guys. We don't walk into supermarkets and girl just throws themselves at us. It just doesn't happen.
Exactly.
It just doesn't happen. So she's not doing that. She's not being desperate. She's not out there being desperate. So that, I guess that's my advice to her. Be desperate. Just be a desperate whore. You just go out there, you will get something for sure.
Do you think that she could do something like a VR? Could she pretend like she's in a nightclub and then just use her own devices?
I'm not familiar with the acronym. What's VR?
Virtual reality.
Virtual reality. So she'd just be like masturbating then, right?
I mean, yeah, pretty much.
It's not sex, bro.
But if she used VR, maybe she could. It could almost be as close to sex as possible. So she could.
Yeah, but
be,
it's not sex. She said what she was requesting was sex.
But
you guys wouldn't believe what the newest Roombas can do.
Oh god. If she uses the VR, she programs a hot guy, and then she creates a scenario. She programs it and everything. I think it might be able to be as close to sex as possible. It's like the Impossible Burger. It's so close to an actual hamburger.
Which is so bad. Totally switching gears. All of you out there that you're eating the Impossible Burger, that's garbage. If you look at how many ingredients are in that, you're so much. Even in the crappy Burger King, which is terrible, you shouldn't eat anything at Burger King, the Whopper is better for you than the Impossible Burger, health-wise.
Jesus.
Because it's actual meat. You can't eat – if you're eating a bunch of tofu and a bunch of soybean, 99% of soybean across the world is genetically modified. It's garbage. If you're a guy, you're increasing your estrogen levels. You know, and if you're a girl, you're giving yourself cancer. It's not healthy stuff.
Think of the cows.
So the Impossible Burger is like the masturbation of burgers. It's just not quite sex.
Yeah, and it's crappy. It's not even like masturbation. It's just – it tastes like crap.
Have you tried it?
I haven't tried it, so I can't speak on the taste. But there's these vegan tacos that I get. I'm trying to think of the name of the box. I get them at Sprouts, but they are delicious. And I'm a meat eater. You know, ironically, I was raised vegetarian, but I started educating myself and learning. And a vegetarian diet is not actually healthy. We're herbivores, so we should have a mixture of all. You should be higher in vegetables and high fiber and all that, but if you're not having any animal fat into your diet, you're missing on some essential fats for your brain and for your development and your bones. So you're actually decreasing your life. Sorry, vegetarians, you're going to die earlier.
The vegetarians are probably the ones that are hoarding toilet paper because they just don't know any better. It's that instinct.
Yeah, the brain's missing the essential fat that they can't get from animal fat.
Right. But when was the first time you tasted blood, by the way? When did you have your first meat?
My first meat. What does that mean?
When did you eat meat? when did you eat meat for the first time?
Oh, fun! Crazy story, actually, because I was, and we in my family, I was raised Hindu, so it was kind of like a Hindu cult, like a Western Hinduism. So we didn't eat meat more for ethical reasons.
Okay.
So that was more. It wasn't a health thing. It was completely ethical things, and. You know, we were doing meditating and yoga, all that when I was a baby. So I knew about all that stuff and was into that stuff way before it was cool, you know. So I'm pretty hip, you know what I mean? So first grade over at my twin friend's house in Sunny Slope where I grew up, the first meat I ever had was the mecca of meat. You know what that is? What is it? What's the mecca of meat?
Ground type. Beef. Ground, no.
No, prime. Bacon. Bacon.
Oh, bacon.
Bacon.
Okay.
I stayed the night over at Danny and Paul's house, and we woke up, and that smell, it was my first time spending the night at their house, and that smell of bacon went through the house. It was cooking. I'm like, what the hell is that? And I was a fat kid, so I'm hungry. You know what I'm getting ready? I'm like, this is delicious. This sounds, you know. I come out there, and I'm like, I'm really not, I mean, pork was the ultimate because everything is like on a layer of things. Now cows are sacred in Hinduism, but as far as like all religions go and all of intelligence goes, pigs are pretty high because they're intelligent. They're disgusting creatures. And I'm all for slaughtering the pig. But I understand why people don't eat pig, because they're filthy. They eat their own shit. I had a pig when I was a kid. They're disgusting, like nasty creatures. But the first meat I ever ate was bacon, and it blew my mind open. Blew it open.
Oh my.
And I came home, and my mother wasn't the type. She wasn't the type that she was going to, like, if I wanted something and I went out there and I had it, she wasn't going to, like, push her ideals on me. So the only thing that happened then is we started having fish. We were allowed fish and poultry, so I could have some meat in the house. So we had chicken, turkey, fish, salmon, whatever. So I could have that. I could never have red meat in my household growing up. So I never had that. I had to go get the, you know, the Whopper and stuff. So I still had my my fast food, my burgers, my stuff, you know,
right,
other places. But I was very limited on red meat growing up. It was all poultry and fish.
Okay. Let me just pause to say, one, you are a very fascinating human being. This is super cool, all the stuff that you've said. And then also, two, it's really interesting about being a vegetarian and then telling your parents, and then they kind of were open to it. And then they started to introduce some more fish and poultry into your guys' diets. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, I have good parents.
Lucky. Anyway, we're going to move on to the next segment, and this is celeb advice. Now, this is where we keep up with celebs and learn from their example, or we try and give them advice, whatever we really feel like. Before we read this article from Perez Hilton, this is where we ask our guests, Jonathan, if they can do any celebrity impressions.
I mean, I could be stupid and be like, yeah, I can do a celebrity impression and just do some stupid joke or whatever, but no, like, that's not my thing. You know?
You're right. This comedy advice podcast is very highbrow, too, so we wouldn't have appreciated it.
All right, I'll do one. Can I do one? I'll do one for you guys. You ready?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay. USA number one top motivational speaker, Stewie Gable, USA number one top motivator. People ask me all the time. They say, what makes you number one? What makes you USA number one top motivational speaker? And I tell them, because I'm not number three. I'm not number two. I'm USA number one top motivational speaker. I sell out multi-million-dollar convention centers in Japan. People fly from Tokyo, Japan to my hometown, Viva Las Vegas, to hear me speak. To hear me talk, baby. That's USA number one top motivational speaker, Stewie Gable, USA number one.
That was incredible. That's the best De Niro I've heard so far. So,
that's not De Niro. That's Stewie Gable. It's a character I made up. Stewie Gable is a motivational speaker.
Oh, sorry about that. Now, Eric, can you do any new ones?
You know, I think I'm fresh out this time, unfortunately. I haven't been keeping up.
Well, Jesus Christ, just because you had a baby. Oh, wow. Okay. So I can do a new one. Do you guys want to, have you guys watched Breaking Bad?
Sure.
Love it.
Do you guys know Badger?
Yeah, he was slow, tall, the tall guy with the slow guy.
Yeah, I think so. I accidentally did him yesterday. That sounds weird. But he was like, hey, Jesse, you want to go and do some meth? All right, man.
Yeah, that's it.
Nice.
That's him, yeah.
Oh, we're going to get in trouble,
that's
Jesse.
Exactly right.
To read this.
He did some stand-up. He did some stand-up there in L.A.
Wait, really?
That Badger guy. I don't know his real name. Yeah. Someone's, because, you know, I go to L.A., you know, I used to go a lot more than I do now. And he did some stand-up there. He's an actor, but he did a little bit of stand-up there, too.
Was he good?
No idea. I just thought I'd throw that out since we're talking about comedy and stuff.
Oh, nice. But, nice.
Yeah. So he's done a little stand-up.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that character, though. And that was a solid impression, because that brought me back. So I wish I didn't see Breaking Bad. Now that I'm stuck inside and I could watch it again.
Oh,
because it's so good. You know what I mean? It was so good.
Yes. Do you like Better Call Saul?
No, I don't.
What?
I try. I mean, it's okay. I'm not into it.
I'll say it's okay. We ended up watching whatever Netflix has. It's the one of the reasons that I like it so much is it brings me back to, and I think, what's his name, Jonathan Banks, the guy that plays Mike, is so good. I really like him as an actor.
Oh, he's great. Yeah.
So
Breaking Bad was full of great actors. You can pull a few of them out and make some side project. It ain't gonna be the same. It's the thing, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. Anyway. Eric, would you like to read this juicy goss from Perez Hilton?
You got it. Lindsay Lohan returns to the music scene with Back to Me. She's back. Lindsay Lohan is determined to get us through the coronavirus pandemic with the power of music and just dropped a new track on Thursday that's totally club ready. Her latest tune, Back to Me, seems to signal a return to her old life, and we couldn't be happier to hear that she's back. Just take a look at some of the lyrics below.
Can you sing the lyrics, by the way?
Oh my gosh. I don't know what the song sounds like.
Me neither. Here, I'll give it a go.
Do it.
And I'll. My life is full of ripped up pages. I've been weak, contagious, but I'm coming back. I'm coming back to me. Oh, but I know that everything changes.
Is that what the song sounds like?
Was that your Lindsay? Was that Lindsay Lohan as Badger?
Please, I need to hear it again as Badger. At least the first line.
My life is full of ripped up pages, Jesse. I've been with contagious. Yeah, I tried to do just impersonation and it went to Badger, so my bad on that one.
Can't blame you. All right,
I love Lindsay Lohan, man. I love her.
Really?
Yeah, I get the hots for her even more, like as she gets older and stuff.
Nice, and more drug-addled and everything like that.
Just something weird about her I like. I don't know.
Did you know she had a reality show about running a discotheque in Greece?
No.
Yeah.
I was gonna say just her she had a reality show for just getting all screwed up. But
yeah, I think they were the same one, to be honest.
They're just marketed in different parts of the country.
Oh God! All right, was there anything else? Was there a rest of it, Eric?
Yeah, there was. In August 2019, she dropped a snippet of her new song titled Xanax and teased it again later in the year. Ms. Lohan has been teasing her musical return for quite some time, though she hasn't given an update to any of her album news.
Does she rap?
Take a listen to yourself.
Does she rap, sing? What does she do? What is her thing? Beat things? What does she do to make music?
So I'm not going to make everybody listen to the song, but from the song that I heard, this one, it was kind of like, it was like European, what do you call it? Techno, or not techno.
Techno?
Yeah, electronic. House. Yeah, house, that's it, house. It's like Greek house, basically.
So it's her saying, like, do it. And then some DJ just goes, do it, do it, do it, do it. Like her voice?
Pretty much.
So she really doesn't do shit then?
Well, she sings, tries to sing, they auto-tune it, and then they put in some beats.
It's like someone taking one of our words that we say during this podcast and making a song out of it, and now we're artists.
Which I am going to do.
Beat.
I hope you will take my varsity quote and make a song out of that. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, I wrote that down. Actually, I'm going to. So I'll.
Do you want me to say it again? You want me to make a nice clear statement for you to make a song of a nice hot track out of?
Can I get a couple variations? Actually,
sure. Mother Nature is holding varsity tryouts. Mother Nature is holding varsity tryouts. Mother Nature is holding varsity tryouts.
Mother Nature is holding varsity tryouts. all right, guys. So do you guys think Lindsay Lohan's doing the right thing here, reintroducing herself to the music scene? This is the first time she's getting in since 2004. It's been 16 years.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, do anything, Lindsay. Do anything. I'm down for it. Down for it.
Yeah.
I like her. I do. I've always liked her. So it's just me. I know. I know people hate her and she's weird and whatever, but I think she's hot.
I honestly forgot about her because I really liked her in The Parent Trap. Not saying she was hot in The Parent Trap, but I liked her acting. And then Mean Girls, she did a phenomenal job. Good acting. And then I don't know what else she did, but she was good. I liked her.
I dare you to name one other thing.
Herbie, didn't she do a movie with
Oh my God, yes.
With a bug?
Yeah, the love bug.
Yeah.
She did that reality show.
Oh, yeah, there you go, the Greek reality show. Or no, the one where she gets fucked up, too. Yeah.
That's my favorite one, actually.
So she's doing the right thing, going back in the music. I feel like she's, I don't know, though. I don't know if she, the lyrics are really up to par with what she should be doing. I really like Britney Spears when she went back. She just went with a powerhouse song that was like, you better work, bitch, where she had no sympathy for herself. Yeah. And she was just like, you know what?
I like Britney Spears. I like all those people from that era. I don't know. That's just because... dating myself, but I like all that stuff.
Backstreet Boys, I actually was a big fan of them.
Yeah, they're fine. I like NSYNC better, but that Backstreet Boys are fine.
Yeah, I think NSYNC aged better. I mean, Justin J Timberlake is still a thing, and I don't know.
What about Joey Fatone? He's funny. He's in that. He works with those Impractical Jokers guys a lot.
Oh, dude, I got to see them live when I lived in New Jersey, and yeah, he was there. It was a good time. Good time.
Yeah, see what I'm saying? Yeah. Great show, right?
Great show. Love that show. One of my favorite shows.
I love those guys, man. I hate when comics hate on those guys. Those guys are hilarious. I'm a big fan. I love those guys. I'm a huge fan.
That's
probably my favorite TV show.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
very candid. It's very candid camera, isn't it?
Very candid camera. And I'm very – so my hero, myself, I'm a huge Tom Green fan. And when I was a kid, the Tom Green show was my shit. I love MTV. The Tom Green show was my favorite show.
Well, that paved the way.
I love Jackass too. Yeah, I love Jackass and all that. But it was all Tom Green was, you know. And I like Andy Kaufman too, of course. But nice. I want to go way back. But
for sure,
I'm a big Tom Green fan.
My parents did not let me watch Tom Green or pretty much anything beyond PBS. So I was Arthur. And Teletubbies. No. Zoom. Did you guys ever watch that show?
Man.
Okay, good.
Teletubbies? Nah.
Good. Oh, that shit.
You got some time. Go on YouTube and look for some old Tom Green show. Look at some of the pranks he did back in the day.
Yeah.
Look at the slut. Watch the Slutmobile. Watch Google Tom Green Slutmobile, okay? There's some do the Tom Green subway bit. All the hilarious, bro. You got to catch up on some Tom Green. He has some classic prank sketches. Hilarious.
I have an autographed copy of Freddy Got Fingered.
That's freaking amazing. I love that movie. I know the movie's terrible, but at the same time, it's great.
It's the best worst movie.
Yeah. Nice. No. My movie sucks. So mine's the worst movie. I spent years making a movie called iFilmYou.com. And what the premise of the movie was there's a reality footage like company taking mental patients out of the institutions and filming them and then selling the footage to then playing the video footage in Japan and dubbing it over, and it's called American Nuts, you know? Just making fun of like Americans.
Holy shit.
And I wrote it, directed it, and acted it. And it's a full feature length film. You know, it's a full 90 minute movie.
Where
and,
did you put an after credit scene?
No, I didn't.
For like, the sequel,
like Iron Man, or
but
something?
I did. If you watch the very beginning, and I'll try to get you guys a copy of the movie. I made like when the credits roll, it's a parody on everything. It's a parody on the credits. It's basically like you're following around this reality team that's collecting footage, and then it just goes haywire. And I have a dissociative identity disorder, so I'm all these different characters, and I'm going around and just being, you know, terrible, and each character represents like the worst part of America. And but it's a terrible, terrible movie. But here's the whole end story. There is, I wrote a movie. I produced it. Ended up making it. It took me years because I was on a shoestring budget and I had to get people to do a lot of work for free. So I finally got it done after like 3 years, and it is terrible. So don't make movies. Is basically what I'm trying to tell you. Do not make movies.
Good lesson.
Just do your online videos. Don't make movies.
Nice. Yeah. And make music. If you're Lindsay Lohan, make music.
Make all tons right. of music. Yeah.
All right. All right, guys. Let's move on to the very last segment. This is a new one. It is Today I Fucked Up. And we scoured Reddit's Today I Fucked Up thread to find inspiring stories of people just swallowing their pride and admitting their mistakes. Because, hey, that's growth. So I'll go ahead and read this one. This Reddit user, Raise Them Kind, says, "Today I fucked up by teaching my child kisses make her stop hurting. So my daughter is dramatic. She will step on a piece of dirt on the floor and fall down screaming, 'Me hurt foot.' Or hit her head on a pillow and make a huge deal out of it. We don't watch soccer, so I have no idea where this behavior came from. Since she is two, she still believes everything I say. I used this to my advantage and told her that kisses fix everything. Stub your toe? Get a kiss. Smack yourself in the face with a broom? Kiss. Cut your finger with a fake knife? Wet one. It was going great. She caught on quick and instead of screaming, always asked for a kiss for her, quote, hurt. How could this go wrong? Well, my daughter was eating her breakfast while I was on a video call. She bit her tongue and started crying. Then she stopped and I saw the look on her face. Here I sit on a very important video meeting and my two-year-old comes running in screaming, 'Mommy, kiss tongue!' Then my two-year-old sticks her tongue out and shoves it at me for a kiss as I'm opening my mouth to tell her no. And that's how her tongue went straight in my mouth while all my coworkers were watching. Too long, don't read. Taught my daughter the kisses fix hurt and she French kissed me."
Oh my God.
Oof. Oh, I mean, that's tough.
Probably not the weirdest thing you see on a conference call this week. I'll bet that.
Not at all. I mean, everyone's at home doing weird stuff right now, so that doesn't. But this is before. This is pre-apocalypse, right?
I didn't check the date, so I'm not sure.
Okay, because it's not really that big of a deal anymore.
Right, right. Everything's flying out the window. You can see naked significant others. You can make out with your kids. I mean, it's all kosher now.
Should I put my hat on like we're back in the day and like everything's cool? And then, because right now it's like, why are we even talking about this? You know?
Yeah, yeah. It's all it's all fine. It's all fine. Is there anything she could have done differently? I mean, instead of saying a kiss will make things better, something else that she could have done?
No, it's fine. A kiss is fine. Why not? Like, why are we so scared of like affection and, you know, public affection, and we can't kiss people? Nah, go ahead, kiss.
So I mean, yeah, as long as you're not strangers.
Oh, I get that. Well, now we can't even like be within 6 feet of each other, so we can't. Yeah, yeah. Kissing would be.
It's really affected. That would be bad. No, you're right. But no, I think a good kiss is good. Maybe just say, "I can kiss you on the forehead, and it will spread to your tongue." Just like the coronavirus.
Yeah, this doesn't sound good.
I'm guessing the tongue thing happened from the programs they were watching that the kids saw. You know what I mean?
Wait,
a lot of tongue kissing on the old
television. Now I get it. Oh God,
what's Disney come to these days?
Oh, Teletubbies has gotten wild. Just chasing after.
I have to say,
because
I'm watching the new season of Ozark, season 3. And my son is like, he says words and stuff. He talks, but he's only a year and a half, so he's not like saying sentences and stuff. So he's not really, but he's bringing it in. He's learning every day a lot. And I pop on Ozark and we're watching the first episode. And right away, yeah, this guy gets he grabs a knife, stabs somebody, rips it out, and just cuts his throat, you know, from ear to ear. It's like, and he's staring at it.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit. Was he like, Daddy,
oh, no.
Will a kiss make it
oh,
better?
Oh, no. That's all I thought, like, oh, no. You forget, because I'm learning. I'm a parent. I'm learning. It's my first kid. And, I stopped the show. I'm like, ugh, okay.
Better switch to Game of Thrones.
But these kids pick up things from the TV, because he took this. He's ever since then, he's been every time I put a knife in his hand, he's been trying to stab me with it.
Oh, shit.
Like butter knife, whatever. Because I don't give him sharp knives yet. I give him butter knives. So then practice with those, you know.
You know what? Speaking, this kind of reminds me, there was this commercial on the radio that I was hearing, and it was for the Universal theme parks. And it kept like cutting in between these like parents talking to their children. And like, oh, let's go do this ride, let's go do that ride. But one of the sections was for the Walking Dead section of the park. And it was basically the voice of the parents going, oh, no, the walkers are going to get you. Come on, better run. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, how? Like, what age are you showing your kids The Walking Dead and turning it into a fun family get-together day at the park?
Oh, my God. Oh.
I thought it was really messed up.
That is yeah, traumatizing. It was,
the walkers are going to get you. It's like nightmare material.
Going to give you a love bite.
I'm guessing that Mother Nature also thinks that a lot of what we're doing is bad. I'm guessing. I don't know.
Oh, going for a cleanse. Yeah.
The cleanse is here. The cleanse.
Oh, man. All right, guys. Anything else before we move on?
Yeah, I'll talk about something.
Okay.
Got nothing to do with anything, but it's just something that I thought about. I'm having a conversation yesterday. It's kind of a speakerphone, so I'm actually not part of the conversation. My wife was having it. But anyways, the point being is my son was crying, and I'm not going to say the other part in the other line, but the dog started barking, and they're like, oh, no, you know, this is bothering the dog.
Really?
And then my wife was like, oh, I'm sorry, because my son was crying. And the dog started barking. And then they were like, this is bothering our dog. Oh, and then she apologizes. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I hope, you know, hope the dog's okay.
What?
Here's the thing. I just want to let everyone know this. And I love dogs. I have a dog. I've had a dog my whole life. I love dogs. But let's take a step back right now. Because a lot of people, I get it. I get the dog is important to you. But your dog is not more valuable than a human's life. Human comes first, dog comes second. My son's crying. Okay, I can't put a muzzle over my son's mouth. I can't strap a muzzle and lock it and tighten it up. Yeah. I'll get it. That's a felony. That's a felony. If I do that to the dog, it's okay.
Yeah.
Because it's a dog, it's not a person. Stop humanizing dogs. Because when you start humanizing dogs to this point, we're devaluing human life.
That's true.
I love dogs, and they're awesome. They're family members. I get that, but they're a different kind of family member. They're like they're not people.
They're like the redheaded stepchild of the family. I mean,
yeah,
you care about them. You feed them. I totally get you. I totally get you there. That is fucked. That somebody was like, your son's crying is disturbing my dog. Can you tell him not to be a dick?
Anything that you have to measure in human years, it just tells.
Well, it's got me thinking. I don't know, and it's there's more important things to think about than this, but I like to think about the unimportant things. Is the humanizing of animals. I don't want to sound like a sick person here, okay? Because I love dogs. I've literally had a dog my entire life. Like I love them. I have a cat too, so I'm all about animals. And I'm not a Michael Vick, you know, old person. I don't condone dog fights, nothing like that. I wonder if, as you see throughout the years, not service dogs, but dogs being like allowed in restaurants, and now they're in baby like carriages, and they're coming into shopping centers like in strollers, like they're actual like people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Is this? I know people need that. Like you need, like if you can't, I just wonder if there's any connection to that. Is that hurting people's ability to connect with humans? Because a dog's gonna love you. A dog doesn't matter. Any dog you get, you feed it. It's a dog. It's gonna love you whether you're a piece of shit or not. So the worst person in the world can find a dog that's gonna love them to death. because dogs are all love, and I get that. That's great about them. But is that doing something to you, a disservice to you, that you don't know how to connect to people now? Yeah. That you're now saying that this dog is more valuable because I'm having difficulties connecting to people? Is that more of an issue about you? You get what I'm saying?
I know. I totally get it 100% because I feel like those people – I'm an animal person too. I have two cats. When I grew up, I had dogs. But the people that we have to worry about are the ones that are like, oh, I love animals more than I love people, which is basically like saying I like talking and not listening because the animals can't talk back to you. And you basically, like, you can be a piece of shit and you can do whatever you want. You are basically holding these animals prisoner and keeping them with food and a chain or a leash or closed doors or whatever. So they get Stockholm syndrome, fall in love with you, and then you end up just thinking that that is how humans should treat you. I don't know if that's healthy, if I'm being honest.
Okay.
I got a little too angry about it, but yeah.
This is something I'm dabbling in, just a thought that hit me recently. And I don't know, I mean, maybe I'll write a joke about it. Maybe it's just something we're having a conversation about. I just don't, there's something there that I'm noticing society. And I don't know. I don't know if it's, it sounds like maybe this is a valid thought. Because, I mean, you know, a lot of times we have these thoughts to ourselves and they're not like, we should just stop thinking about that. We're like, yeah, that's kind of pretty fucking weird, you know, the girl gremlin, you want to have sex with the girl gremlin from Gremlins? That's weird, bro. Stop thinking about that.
Wait, what's
wrong
with
that?
Get
on to something else. You know? But I don't know. Maybe this is the same something like about our culture that – I don't know. Because, again, I love dogs. I do. And I'm not – I know they're important and they help people, and especially in situations like I know people have post-traumatic stress disorder from the war and stuff and – different wars and things, vets, and they have service dogs. The dogs really pay, you know, help a lot. They can trigger like when something's happening, and so dogs can be a really good service as well. Not just being, you know, like a good friend, you know. I mean, I have a friend. My dog's Bonnie. It's a little half Chihuahua, half Jack Russell Terrier. And she cuddles up with me, and I love her. You know, we watch TV together and have fun. I love my dog, but
yeah. Yeah.
I'm never going to think that she equates to the value of my son's life.
Yeah, that's the point, I think, to be focused on. Because dogs are amazing. They're great. They're probably a step above car, but not above child, I would say, or other family member.
What kind of car are we talking about?
Well, I was just about to say, maybe Ferrari? I don't know. No, maybe not, but like a Corolla? Yeah, definitely better than a Corolla. So
is it bad to cap? Because I know a lot of people, I've had friends that have spent thousands of dollars to save their dog that's like 12 years old, you know?
Oh.
I put a cap. Like I put a cap. It's $750.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cheap.
Is that cheap?
That's pretty. I do it. It's like, okay, how much would I pay to save grandma and then divide that by 10?
You divide it by 7 because that's how many years for dog years.
There you go. Divide by 7 and then that's the number. That's the cap.
750. So 750 is times 7 is what? Calculator on me right now. It's around like $5,000 or something.
Yeah, there you go.
I think you guys, I don't know, like maybe my number's off then, because I would spend more than $5,000 to save either of you guys, you know. I don't know you that well, but I'd still spend $5,000 to save your life.
I appreciate that.
That's your cap?
Right, well. I guess I found my number. I guess 750 is my number. You
know, all right. Well, unfortunately, we have come to the end of our podcast. So before we leave, we'd like to say thank you to all the listeners. We really appreciate being in your ears for a little while. If you guys have not yet, please subscribe, leave a review, tell a friend about us, follow us on Instagram, and then just send us lovely notes and things. Jonathan, where can people find you so that when you do get shows, they can be right on it and they can say, oh, Jonathan Gregory's got a show. I want to be there. Where can they find you?
Well, we're back 2024. We're set to return to like live action or what's the date? I don't know on that.
Something like that. I think so.
Like, I don't know. You can you can see some stuff online right now if you want to look me up. It's going to be a lot different than me talking right here. Let's tell you that right here. But you can go to my website, creepycomedy.com, and there's videos on there you can watch. But you can also like follow me on Instagram through that website. I don't want to give you all my handles. You go on creepycomedy.com. There's a link for Instagram. There's a link for Facebook, Twitter, whatever. If you like 90 Day Fiancé, I watch that every Sunday if I don't have a show, and I don't have any shows right now. And I'll live tweet 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh, my God. I love that show. God, my wife and I love that show. That's great.
Yeah, so watch that. Watch 90 Day Fiancé on Sundays with me, and we'll live tweet together.
That's awesome. Well, all of your handles and your website are going to be in the show notes. So, guys, you can just click there, and you'll be able to find Jonathan everywhere. Eric, do you have anything that you want to plug? Maybe your new baby?
Yeah, nah, that's all right. I'm good for right now.
Is he on Instagram yet? Are we?
Not yet. We're still looking for a proper handle. They're all used up.
All right. Thank you so much, Jonathan. We really appreciate it. Thank you, everybody. We will talk at you next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.